When he was gone, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where am I going? You cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.
Tommy, thank you very much. As the kids mentioned before, our theme for this term at Youth has been following Jesus with heart and hands. And so we've been learning all about Jesus' love for us and what it means like to live in that love and to show that and to live it out. And so hence the Bible verse that they've memorized. And we're going to learn not only what it says now, but just spend some time thinking about what it means and how it changes us as we live and as we follow Jesus. So let me pray and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you for the way that you teach us in it who you are, what your great plan for this world and all of time is. Thank you that in it we see just how great your love is. We've read about it, we've sung about it already this morning. We pray that now you would teach us more about it, that we might learn the depths of your love and that we might learn what it means for us as well to show that love. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard that idea that pet owners can sometimes look like their pets. Apparently it's not a myth. Apparently there is truth in that. Here's some examples I found. I don't know if these are real pet owners and people, but this one really tickled me. I just need to get a collar. Maybe there's some truth there, I don't know. Apparently there is. But it's not just true for our pets, isn't it? It's true for our hobbies, and it's true for the things that we do as well, isn't it? Your interests shape your look. Maybe it's a little bit cliche, but there's some truth there. Maybe you can just guess, maybe some of the youth can help me out here, what kind of hobby does this guy have? Yeah, I mean, the board's a bit of a giveaway, but yep, nice work. What about these guys? Close.
Working out at the gym.
Yeah, nice work. What do we do? CrossFit, nice work. What about this guy? Well, not that guy, this guy.
Builder.
Yeah, I'm going to say an amateur builder. a weekend warrior by the look of it. Everything's a bit too shiny and yellow. Lastly, this one's a bit trickier. What do you reckon? Yeah, what's he into though? Coffee. I would have also accepted smoking meat and brewing beer. We love cliches. Cliches are good. They're excellent. That's just a bit of a laugh to get us warmed up. But there is some truth there, isn't there? Like what you're into, you start to take that on, don't you? It shapes you. It changes you. It changes the way you act. It even changes how you look. You want to fit with that tribe. You take on that look. It's kind of natural, isn't it? Now, if that's true for small things like hobbies and jobs, it suggests it should be true for bigger things as well, shouldn't it? Things like following Jesus, things like calling ourselves a Christian, that the shape of what we're into and what we're doing should become the shape of our lives as well, should shape how we look and how we act. And you know what? That is exactly what Jesus points to in this passage that we just read and that the kids recited for us before. It tells us if love is at the core of who God is, it will also be at the centre of who we are. If love is at the core of who God is, it will also be at the centre of who we are if we're going to follow him. So Jesus' whole point in this passage is this is who God is. And so this is who you ought to be. Not in a so that you belong to him way, not like we're kind of earning our way into his favour by being more like him. Jesus' point is because you belong to him, this is going to change your life. Now, in one sense, that feels really daunting, doesn't it? Like, if you stop and think what Jesus is saying, he's saying, be like God. That's a pretty hard ask, isn't it? That's a huge ask. But as it turns out, his love is so big and so good that encountering that love can't help but change us with both hearts and hands for Jesus. And that's what we're going to see this morning. Now, I've jumped into the middle of John, but it's very much coming to the end of the story. If you know the book, you know there's 7 more chapters to go, but it's all in this last hours of Jesus' life. We've just celebrated the Lord's Supper, and now Jesus is just hours away from his trial with Pilate and hours away from the cross. And if you've read through the Gospel of John, you know that Jesus is often going, he's saying to his followers, my hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. It's not yet my hour. Again and again, he's saying, there's a moment coming, but it's not here just yet. Well, now here. Here it is. The hour has come. And look at how Jesus announces it. If you've got your Bibles open, have a look at verse 31 and 32. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once." That's a little bit of a tongue twister. But you can see what Jesus is saying, isn't it? Like the word glory, it's very much like a climax. This is the high point kind of moment. He's saying, this is it. This is what we've been looking forward to. And just in case we were going to miss it, he says it 5 times. This is emphasis. This is the moment. This is the hour. But what does he mean? What's this word glory all about here? Him glorified, God glorifying him, him glorifying God, getting glory once. It's a little bit hard to follow. But think of it like this. How do you get glory? How do you get glory? It's not by doing something, is it? It's actually by drawing attention to something that you've done. Something that you think is great and you want other people to celebrate as well. So, you know, Ronaldo scores, allegedly, every now and again. What does he do? What's it called?
Sue.
It's look at me, isn't it? Look at what I've done. Look at how good I am. Celebrate with me. Now, the thing is, with God, it's a little bit different because unlike Ronaldo, especially at this World Cup, God is perfect and God gets it right. And so God doesn't have to do anything to prove his glory or improve his glory because he is glory. So how is God glorified then? Well, it's by people seeing him for who he is. God is glorified when people see him clearly and know him better as he truly and actually is. And that's what Jesus is saying is taking place right here in this moment in John. He's saying, now God's going to be glorified because you're going to see him for who he really is. You're going to see him best in what's taking place right here. I'm going to glorify him and be glorified by him, and everyone's going to see us for who we really are. See, Jesus is saying, if you want to know who God is, you want to see him clearly, God is best seen at the cross. And what do we see at the cross? Well, Jesus describes it for us. Have a look at verse 34. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." So what is Jesus saying? The cross is all about. What does it mean? Well, it's the way that he's loved us. It's all about love. He actually says it, he expands on that just a couple of chapters later in John 15. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." See, who is God? What is God like? Well, Jesus is saying we see God most clearly at the cross. And what do we see at the cross? We see that God is love. We see love. Here's how one guy puts it, commenting on this verse. He says, "The supreme moment of divine self-disclosure." You know, the place where God is making himself most known, the greatest moment of displayed glory was in the shame of the cross. That's where we get to see God. That's where we get to know who God is and what God is like. See, here's the thing. How do we get to know you? How do you introduce people to yourself? You guys are all too young for social media, but maybe you have a bio on social media, like Shaq's, very quotatious, or James Blunt's. What's that? Proof that one song is all you need? Fair. I can't read that. What do you say? Run by Mum and Dad. That sounds right for John Meyer. And last thought, emotional eater. See, the good thing is, if you're really, really famous, you don't actually have to tell many people about who you are because everyone knows you already. So maybe you won't use a social media bio. Maybe the best way to get to know you is on your resume. Maybe your resume, that's a pretty good summary. This is who I am. Maybe a slightly polished version of who you are. Here's my resume. You can't read that. That's probably a good thing. It got me a job here. So maybe it is good enough. You can just read it. Good. You can tell everyone about me then. Our resume tells other people. It introduces us who we are. What's God's bio? What's God's resume? Well, Jesus is saying, our resume is the cross. This is who we are. This is what we're like. Self-sacrificing love cuts to the core of who God is. You want to know who God is? All you need to do is look at the cross. All you need to do is see there his love. That is your clearest picture of who God is and what he's like. And the thing is, that is exactly what we need. And we know it's exactly what we need because we see what happens in the rest of this passage. Did you see the little interaction that Jesus has with Peter here? You know, Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And he's obviously talking about the cross. He's saying, you don't go there just now. But he's actually talking more about him going home to his Father. And we see he expands on that in the very next chapter when he talks about going home to be with God. Now, of course, Peter, if you know Peter, Peter often engages his mouth before his brain. He loves to talk and he's a confident guy. He wants to go too. And so see what he says in verse 36. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. So this is why we need God's love. This is why we need the cross. It's because we can't get home to God without it. We can't get home to God without it. See, even Peter, who had heard Jesus for maybe 3 years now, who was a close friend with Jesus, who had figured out, you know, at least some of what Jesus had done and who he was, and had seen so much, in just a few hours, even Peter, knowing and seeing all of that, is going to deny Jesus three times and say, I don't know him. Three times. And it tells us something, doesn't it? If that's Peter, how much more us? See, why does that run through Peter and why does that run through us? It's the truth that because we've sinned and rejected God and his way and turned our back on him, we can't get home to him on our own. Our sin, our rejection of him, that stands between us and him. It keeps us outside and away from him. And that's where the why of the cross comes in. That's why it matters so much for us. See, why did Jesus do this? Why was it so loving for him to go to this cross and to give his life? Because the truth is, the cross was him taking the punishment and guilt of our sin and opening the way in that moment for us to get home to God, making it possible for us to get to where we couldn't get ourselves. See, his love is dying for us, sinners who would deny him, so that we could be included in his family together forever. That is the core of who God is. That's the love that he has come to show and give in the cross, that he lavishes on everyone who's loved him. Never forget that love. That is a precious love, isn't it? When you're feeling lonely and think God is far away, this is how God loves you. When you're feeling guilty for things that you've done and you think that you've disappointed him, this is how he loves you. When you're hurting or when you're tempted to think he doesn't care or he doesn't know what's going on in your life, this is how he loves you. When you're flat or tired or empty or just worn out, the invitation again is look at the cross and see how he's loved you. This isn't just something that he's done. This is the core of who he is. And that's where you can find yourself always. But notice how powerful this love is. So it's not just that Jesus' love, this love that defines and that drives him, it's not just that it's our model for love. I mean, it is that, but it's so much more than that as well. See what he says here, it's that this love that saved us and brings us home to and in him, this love actually gets in us and it changes us. See how he describes it there in verse 34 and 35, our memory verse again. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So the very type of love that Jesus showed us is the very type of love that we now live. And it's helpful for us, isn't it? It's a helpful way to think through it. It's easy to think, wow, Jesus calls me to do love. His love was really big. I should love others in that same way and go for really grand gestures. You know, that should be the way we love. And so, I mean, you might not love everyone in the church family with a few dozen red roses or a Taj Mahal kind of love. That's a bit too big and a bit too extravagant. But is that actually the kind of love that Jesus showed us? Like that kind of big gesture, extravagant love? In one sense, kind of, isn't it? I mean, the cross is a big deal. The cross is a big, more than a gesture. But actually, how did Jesus love? What kind of love is he talking about here? It's that word that we used before, isn't it? It's that self-sacrificial love. It's a love that's not seeking that wow factor or that visibility. It's a love that's humble and low-key, a love that gives oneself up rather than self-exalts. So do you want to know what great love is? Great love is cleaning toilets. That got your attention. It's a job that no one wants. It's a way we get to love one another, isn't it? Great love is noticing the person who's by themselves and giving up talking wheel playing with my friends to go and be with them. And even better, taking my friends to go and be with them too. See, this kind of love, this self-sacrificial love that Jesus is talking about, isn't a love that weighs up the returns. You know, well, if I do this, then maybe they'll do this for me. It's a love that says instead, even though, maybe even because there's nothing in it for me, I care about them and so I'll love them. Even more self-sacrificial love is telling others about Jesus, about his love. That's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it might be a bit awkward, might change the way someone treats us. But it's love to show them the very best thing in the world, isn't it? The love of Jesus. And did you notice, actually, the way that Jesus talks about this love here? It's very visible, isn't it? It's the mark of belonging to Jesus. Did you see what he said? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I've seen people do crazy things for love. I've seen guys pike out on fishing trips to go and spend time with their girlfriends. That's crazy. I think that's crazy. I've seen guys with two left feet who've learned how to dance, who've even taken lessons in secret to surprise their partner. That's crazy. This goes further, though, doesn't it? Because that love, I mean, that kind of love, that's in the hope of a relationship, that's in the hope of a future together. This love that Jesus has shown us here, it's not looking forwards to something that might be. It's a love because we've already got that love, isn't it? We already have it in its fullness. Jesus' love that we've already received, it's perfect already. See, we're already there. And because we're already there, we're freed to love, aren't we? See, if you've only got $2 and someone asks you, for $2, you might give it to them. But it's hard, isn't it? Like, that's a hard ask. But if you've got $10,000 and someone asks you for two, it's not as hard, is it? Jesus is saying here, you've got more than $10,000 worth of love in the bank. You've got an infinite amount of love in the bank because it's his love. You are secure and perfectly loved. You have a riches worth of love. Forever. So what John says in John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. See, the more deeply you reflect on that love that Jesus shows you, the more freed you'll be to show that love to others as well, to lay down your life for them. So what's one way you can do that this week? What's one way you can live out the love that you have in Jesus? Living in a way that others are pointed to it as well. Well, you can ask yourself, what could it look like this school holidays? You know, you're going to spend a whole lot more time with your siblings around the house. What could loving them look like for you this week? You're going to do a whole bunch of extra stuff probably with mum and dad, including maybe just getting under their feet. What does it look like to love them in that? What does it look like as you think about how to use your time or your money these school holidays? What does it mean to love others with that? See, Jesus gave up his place. He gave up perfection and glory. He gave up his life out of love for you. You are perfectly and wonderfully and lavishly loved. How can your life this week point others to the wonders of that love so that they might know it too? Let's pray. We're going to ask for God's help as we think that question through. Yeah? We're going to ask that he would guide us in that. So let me pray and ask for his help. Dear God, we want to say thank you. Thank you again for the precious way that you have loved us in Jesus. We thank you that you loved us in spite of everything that we did, that you loved us simply because of who you are, that you overflow with love and are so gracious and kind in that. Father, we praise you for your love that came to us even while we were sinners, a love that went so far as to make us your children and your friends and part of your family forever. Please help us to remember every day just how rich that love is, that it might be for us a great sense of joy and security and strength as well. But Lord, even more, we pray that that love would get deeply into us. We pray that it would change us. We pray that it would make us more loving people, so much so that your love might be seen by others in us, that others might get to know it too. Father, as people who are deeply loved by you, help us to love one another, and in that, point to how good your love in Jesus is. In his name we pray. Amen.